we give God a mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah. One more time, give God a mighty shout. Hallelujah. Now with that same mode of praise and worship, I want you to help me welcome the God, the servant of God, Bishop. Yay!
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace of life. And thank you that we can rejoice in your house and celebrate your goodness. Holy Spirit, we know that you are our everything, and therefore we surrender to you to lead us into the truth and to show us the way that we may live for our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Please be seated. I see you have Shabby Shepherding Must Go. I don't know if you know what it is. What is the meaning of the word shabby? What is the meaning of the word shabby? Somebody look for it for me and tell us what it means. When they say something is shabby. What's the meaning? Read it for us. Where's the other mic? Okay.
Shabby. In a poor condition through long use or lack of care.
In a poor condition through long use or lack of care. What other meaning is there?
Other meaning is dressed in old or worn out clothes.
Good.
Number two, of behavior, mean and unfair.
Mean and unfair. And number three?
I have those two, sir.
Okay, there are other more meanings. But you see, when something is shabby, it's like, it's not up to scratch. Do you get it? It's not up to scratch. So the theme, shabby shepherding must go. Shepherding is looking after people. Shepherding is guiding, leading to place of water, to place of food and things. And, you know, we are shepherds of God's flock. Even though we ourselves are sheep of his pasture. Do you get it? He has raised us among his flock to look after the flock. And therefore, as shepherds, or as whatever type of leader you are, shabbiness must go out of the way you do the shepherding work. That's the meaning. Shabby shepherding must go. In other words, it must get out of our ways. And each of the letters stands for different things we will do to do away with shabby shepherding. Do you get it? It stands for the different things we will do to do away with shabby shepherding. So this morning, and I think a few days, I'll try to take you through some of the things which would help you to be found to live for Jesus. Do you get it? Because you will not be accounted as a thief who collected Jesus' life and didn't use it for him and continued your old way. Amen. Good. And so there are things you must do. First of all, the verse that tells us that we have received new life from Jesus, which is verse 15 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. It still continues to tell us what has been, or it still continues to tell us the end result of this new life that we have, and that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we have been given the task of reconciliation. Amen. Because that was what he was doing. So if we are now an extension of his life, then we must do what he was doing. Isn't it? Or? It looks like you don't understand. The way you were dancing and the way you are responding, they look very different. Or? Am I saying something you don't understand? What did I say? Mm-hmm. If we are an extension of his life, we must do what he was doing. We must continue. What was he doing? To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's the same thing. It's a pity you don't have a New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, it's a very simple, says it's very clear, and normally doesn't go too far away from the King James. Again, you must have it. It will be good if you have it, the New Living Translation. Amen. Good. So, having been given the ministry of reconciliation, having been given the task to bring people back to God through Jesus Christ, what are the tools or what would be the main task, or what would be the main work we'll be doing? Do you understand my question? As a person said, but you do understand his question. Can you explain it to me? You know what? Read the New Living Translation for me, because I don't think they understood this verse. The New Living Translation. Just read 19.
For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
20.
So we are Christ's ambassadors.
So we are Christ's ambassadors. To do what?
God is making his appeal through us.
God is making his appeal to the world through us.
We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God.
We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Do you get it? So basically, what is the work that we have been given? What is the work that we have been given? What is the task? What is the main task? Is it selling t-shirts? What is the main task? Come again? It's to reconcile people. What is the meaning of reconcile? Or what is the meaning of the word reconcile?
It means restore friendly relations between, here they've put the example, the king and the archbishop were publicly reconciled. She was reconciled with her father. Number two, reconcile, restore any friend relationship. She was reconciled with her father. The news reconciled us.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, what is it?
This one say, cause to coexist in harmony.
Cause to coexist in harmony. Do you get it? Now, what kept us from God is because of our sins. Are you with me? So if God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and our task is to now reconcile others to God through Christ, do you get it? Then we want the... Our task is to make people have a restored relationship with God through Christ. Are you with me? Good. So if that is our task, what are the skills that we must have? Come again. Knowing the word is not enough. How? But when you go for evangelism, what are you going to tell them? Yes, you can speak. Social communication skills. Okay, up to a point. What else? What is that? If your task is to sell this water, what is the skill that you must have?
Marketing skills.
You must have marketing skills. You must know your stuff clear. And you must explain to me why I need to drink this water and not the one in the tap. Do you get it? Yeah. So what it is that you must have your message clear. Because you are saying, I have a problem with God, but I don't feel I have a problem with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think that people who are in the discourse and all the, do you think they have a problem with God? They feel they have a problem with God? No. They are not even thinking about God. Are you getting the point? So, you see, you need to present to me my state. You need to help me to see my state. And the conflict that exists between me and God. And how that through death, I'll have to meet up with God. You see, you need, most people don't know their true state. Because the work of Satan is to keep people deceived. The work of Satan is to keep people deceived. That's the number one work of Satan. And by deception, be able to destroy them, murder them, take them to hell. So our skill that we need is that, first of all, we must have our message clear. Most Christians can't preach. Come tell me why I'm born again. Most Christians will tell you you must go to church. And then they start telling you, you go to church. Church is this, church is like that. Then you don't even have an answer. Most of us don't even understand what we have believed. Are you getting my point? So our learning, if we are to live for Christ, is to get our message clear and understand the true state of man and be able to present it line by line, precept upon precept. Paul advised Timothy to study the word. And by studying the word, so that and he should know why he believes what he believes, so that he can give an answer to every question that is asked. But most of us are so busy thinking about ourselves that we don't even spend time to understand why we believe what we believe. Are you with me? So it's very important, and that's why you must study the word, study the Bible. Because you see, Paul, when he was speaking to the various places he went to preach, he was able to explain to them everything, what salvation means and how it comes by faith, and how from Abraham all the way there has been salvation. Now, we don't give ourselves to do that. We give ourselves to think of how to eat, what to wear, and all those things. So it's making us ineffective ambassadors of Christ. Because ideally, when we meet in church on Sunday morning, we should be digesting the message we have to go and preach. Use checking Bible references, showing that this means that this is what this is, and therefore that is why this is like that, and all those are the things we should be doing Sunday morning. It's like Sunday morning should be like a lecture session where we are being given details into the subject that we are to go out to present. You see, I was born without any information. But as I came into this world, the world has taught me A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, and told me how to pronounce words and the meaning of words and all those things. And further on, they taught me the human body, how it is arranged, the anatomy, how it works, the biochemistry, how the chemical process work, the kidneys, how they function. And then they taught me the diseases that can affect it and how each disease presents. When you have a problem here, how you can see it in the body and all those things. And then they taught me how to manage it. Then after 6 years of that just human body teachings and training, they said, now you can go and start practicing. Are you getting my point? So it's the same thing but you see, it's because we are not ready to live for Christ. That is why we don't even care to think about the message that we have to go and tell others about Christ. Because you have to tell me, when you are coming to tell me I need Jesus, it's like you are coming to tell me I must take Panadol. For what? I need Jesus for what? You need to explain to me and help me to understand my true state. It is only then the person will ask, what must we do to be saved? Then you say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from your sins. Hallelujah. Then you can bring that. So this book, why don't I have a Macarius open? I don't really appreciate this. But there's one that I normally travel with that is open. You see, so, like this book, it's a big book. Because Galatians 2:20 is another level. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Read the NLT for us. The NLT is a softer African English. I call it English for African congregation. And I heavily. Now, you see, for most of us, this book will do two things for us. It will help us to even understand what has been done for us, for ourselves. so that it can make us more appreciative. And then also, we will be able to tell others why they need to experience Jesus Christ, the blessing. Are you with me? Yeah. So this, you must learn it. It's just a beginning guide. You learn so many things about salvation so that you can be, you are able to, in your conversation. Because Galatians 2:20 is another level. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Read the NLT for us. The NLT is a softer African English. I call it English for African congregation. Write it. Write this. Are you with me? Yeah. A hand takes it and it's instructed. That's what you are. But if you don't draw somebody's attention, it will not occur to them. Because you don't feel a spirit pushing you. So I feel like doing this. I feel like doing that. It's not you. There's a spirit that is making you feel like doing it. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, the place which says, "For by grace are you saved," is the same place that explains Ephesians 2, verse 2. I didn't say verse 8, I said verse 2. Okay, maybe start from verse 1. It's a pity you don't have New Living Translation. It's a pity. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past. What other translation do you have? Yes, read the NLT for me. And I wanted them to see it, but you read it for us. Read.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Verse 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God.
Do you think the people who don't obey the word of God, they think there's a spirit working in their heart? Yeah. Even you didn't think so. You thought when you wake up in the morning and in those times when you were, did you do some bad things before? Why are you looking at me like? I didn't ask you, where is Jesus? You didn't do any bad thing. Or not a lot. No, did you do any bad thing before?
Yes.
Come again.
Yes, I've done it.
Really? When you were doing it, Did you think a spirit is making you do it?
Nope.
You thought you were doing it, isn't it? Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. But you see, if you understand this verse well, you get it? If you understand, I don't think I like this translation. No. This translation is like this. It's not. I don't know. Just leave me with my King James. Honestly speaking, I don't like this translation at all. Does Pastor Pascal preach from this translation a lot? He does. This translation. Okay, I don't like it at all. I think it's a question of style and preference. But because I try to explain a lot. Do you get it? I like the Bible that says it in a very simple way. Because when you start this atmospheric type, we don't understand it. Just say it's spirits, that's all. See, because when you say atmospheric, is it the sun? Is it the clouds? I mean, we don't, you see, because it's like, you see, some people, when they, you see, some of the things, when they speak, you need a dictionary to experience all those things. Is there a way we can buy an NLT? I think I'll appreciate it if you can just organize it for me. Because that's the NLT just says it in a very simple English. You see, I didn't like reading when I was a child. So I didn't have a lot of vocabularies. Do you get it? My word power was not strong. So I like English that is simple. You see, I don't like these big words. You know, some people, they have big words. When they say you everything they say, you need a dictionary. No, I don't like. I like the simple ones that in plain language. Do you get it? Good. So it says, please, where is the NLT reader? Read it for us again. So what it is that most of the people don't realize and don't know. Verse 1 and 2.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience. Remember, Adam was told in the beginning, in the day that you eat this, you shall die. And he did. And the Bible says he was sucked out of the garden. So you see, what death is to God is different from what death is to us. You see, to us, death means we don't exist on this earth. But to God, death means you are completely separated from me.
Sure.
I have nothing to do with you. Permanent separation from me. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. That's what it means. That's why we must be born again. Because in the eyes of God, we are permanently separated from him. In the eyes of God, we are dead. So for us to come back to him, we must be born again. Mm-hmm. So Paul is saying that once you were, what did he say? Once you were what?
Once you were dead because of your disobedience.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Read on.
You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil.
You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. If you go out there now, nobody will say, I've been obeying the devil. Even you, in your time past, you will never say you have been obeying the devil. Even me. Why should I obey the devil if I knew it was the devil talking to me? But Paul is saying, what you were doing, you were under the influence of the devil. You thought it was you, but it was not you. It's the devil. Yeah. You see, because think about it. If the Holy Spirit can control you, why can an evil spirit not control you? Because they are all spirits. And the truth is, we are all controlled by spirits. That one is a fact. We are all controlled by spirits. When you wake up, the thoughts you have, they are not coming from you. They are coming from somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. They are coming from somewhere. I think in either Chronicles or 2 Kings, they said that there was a sort of a meeting of who shall deceive. Is it Ahab? It's not Ahab. Who shall deceive one of the kings that he may go to war and die? And the spirit said, I. Yeah, it has to be. That was where Jehoshaphat got himself involved. Was it Ahab? It's Ahab. Yeah. It's Ahab. Listen, if you read your Bible and you understand, you'll be able to tell the person who is, listen, the way you are thinking, is Satan who is making you think like that. Please. Okay, now I want a little bit of the conversation. Verse 20. Okay, 1 Kings 22, 20. And the Lord said, who can entice? How did you get the NLT so quickly? Oh, you changed laptops. Okay, good. And the Lord said, who can entice Ahab to go into battle? The man will be there. And he will think that, let's go and fight. Who has told you to go and fight to your disadvantage? And the Lord, this is the Lord, this is capital, so it's God himself. Whenever you see all capital letters, Lord, all capital letters, is referring to God in the Bible. When you see only one capital letter and the rest are small, it's Jesus. Or like somebody who is over you, Lord. Mm-hmm. But this one is God. And the Lord said, who can entice? What is the meaning of entice? Seduce, trap Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth Gilead so he can be killed. There were many suggestions. Read on. And finally, a spirit. Are you surprised? It's in the Bible. I didn't bring it. It's not like when I came, I brought it and put it there and updated it. No, it's in the Bible. It's your mom Ruti who told us where it is. And finally, what? What? What?
Spirit.
Oh, serious? I thought it was his son. A spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. would you do this? The Lord asked. And the Spirit replied, I would go and do what? And pray for all. What will he do? Inspire which people? Lawrence, are you understanding it? Be very careful when certain thoughts occur to you to go and fight and to do something that is not right according to the word of God. Be careful. You know, recently the Lord taught me something and said, when you have to obey an instruction, like let's say the Lord puts in your heart to do something. Do you get it? Because we live by faith. So you must believe the things that the Lord puts in your heart to do. You must believe that it's God speaking to you. Are you with me? You must believe it. But when you believe that this is the Lord instructing you to do it, but in the process of doing it, you find out that you have to break another clear written word of God. For example, you believe the Lord is laying on your heart to go to Bible school. And your parents are saying, no, don't go to Bible school. If you have to fight your parents and disobey them, do you get it? To say, I'll go. You are breaking another commandment. Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. So yes, God has told you go to Bible or has put in your heart that you believe go to Bible school. Your parents who, and you are still underage or they are still looking after you and they are saying no. Now, the natural thing is, who should I obey, God or my father? But the same God has also told you, honor your father and your mother. That is mirror. So at that point, you have to be very careful. Don't take on your mother and your father directly. In other words, don't use your own strength to fight them. If it is God speaking to you in your heart to go to Bible school, and your father and your mother are obstructing it, go back to him in prayer and say, Lord, make a way. Are you with me? Make a way. Don't fight. Recently I learned that thing. Yeah. Let God do the fighting with your mother and your father. If they are really opposing God, let them do it for you. So you intensify your prayer life. And begin to listen to your spirit more. If the instruction is of God, he will remove your parents out of the way so that you are able to do it. Because sometimes when God tells us something, we don't ask him when. So a lot of people get into trouble. And that's how Satan deceives people. He puts an idea and tells you it's from God. But in the process of carrying it out, you break the commandments of God, only to discover that the idea is not of God. Remember this. Because of things like this. See, and all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. So you see, this revelation is being given to him by a prophet. Yeah. This revelation of what actually is happening is being given to him by another person who sees in the spirit and hears in the spirit. Listen, all our lives are governed spiritually. You don't believe it? You better believe it for your safety. You better believe it for your safety. I said, you better believe it for your safety. Amen. Good. Anyway, so how did I get here? I was explaining, I started in Ephesians chapter 2, explaining how that they are under spiritual influence and yet they are not aware. Isn't it? Yeah. And you need to learn all these things so that you explain to them that this is actually what is happening to you. So that you also will subject yourself to the influence of the Holy Spirit more. That's why it's very dangerous, a Christian who doesn't pray, a Christian who doesn't hear from, doesn't read the word, a Christian who doesn't listen to preaching. You must listen to proper, pure preaching of the word of God constantly, so that spiritually you are influenced by the Spirit of God. You see, because when you hear something, you think about it. So when somebody is speaking, or when the Spirit of God is speaking and you hear something and you are thinking about it, you allow the Holy Spirit to engage you in a discussion. So listen, the skills you need, I'm explaining to you, I'm showing you, the skills you need is to develop your ability to explain to people in just ordinary chatting why they need Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Yeah. That is very important. That is very important. Because most of us today, we cannot explain salvation. We cannot. You see, as I'm here, I'm just talking to you about being born again. I'm just talking to you about being born again. That's all I'm doing. But explaining to you the real thing that is happening. Most people, they do something thinking that this is what I'm doing. But not realizing that they are only not doing this, but they are doing this and that and that and that. Yeah. When a boy and a girl are having sex, they think they are just stimulating themselves to shout and to scream. But sometimes, what is happening at that incident is so many things, including making a baby, including, starting the process of death and transmitting diseases. Sometimes it even includes the blocking of your tubes. And even over and above that, sometimes it includes the transmission of evil spirits. But you see, it is presented to you that, oh, just you are just being stimulated to shout. Oh, you don't shout. When you were doing it, you never shouted. I see some younger ones here. I don't expect you to have had sex before. Don't have it. Wait until you marry. Do you get it? Wait until you marry. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. You see, some of the people, as they are having sex with different boys, they don't know that what they are actually doing is that they are opening a door of instability into their lives. One of the commonest problems, or one of the problems I'm beginning to pick up, is married people who can enjoy sex with their wives, because they have slept with so many girls that the taste that they have had out there is not what they are being offered by the one they have paid for. Yeah, because some of the good girls, they don't know, they've not been trained. Yeah. Yeah, some of the good girls, they you are the first person, or maybe you are the second person that they have married and are having sex with. So they don't know much. What they know is I don't know who teaches us, but at least we know one basic way. Meanwhile, the girls you have slept with, you are the number 87. And they have been taught so many things by bad boys. And that's why they offered you what they offered you. And then now you have gotten this nice girl who is actually coming. You see, your blessing of the one you have married is not to give you excellent sex like you've had with the prostitutes and other things. No. But she's giving you good character and good spiritual influence. Because you see, everybody you stay with has an influence of a spirit on their lives. Some people come into the marriage with good spirits, with parental blessing, with blessings from their family. You see, we don't think about all these things, isn't it? Yeah. So that is what God has chosen to bless you with. That I'm going to bless you with this girl who actually is going to, her presence in your life is going to bring you many good fortunes, guide you in a nice way, and your life will be beautiful. But she doesn't know how to have sex. Meanwhile, if you had not been going around, you wouldn't even know that she doesn't know how to have sex, because you yourself also, you wouldn't know other, you have no other taste. The reason why we don't like, when you taste breast milk now, you wouldn't like it, is because you have tasted other milks. But to the baby, the only milk, the taste they know is this breast milk. So to them, that's how milk tastes. That's why some babies don't mix the formula milk with the breast milk. Like you either, when you give them, when you change it, before you realize they don't like one. Are you with me? So I'm trying to explain to you that sometimes you think you are doing only this, but what you don't know is that you are doing so many other things that has been hidden from you. Amen. Good. So please, let's make sure that we learn about salvation. The verse that I wanted to read, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. obeying the devil, that is to say, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Are you seeing something? So you see, this is Paul. Paul is explaining to them about now that they are born again. Do you get it? And explaining to them what their life was before. Verse 1 says that you were dead in sins and trials and all those things. And then it goes on to say, for now you are saved by grace. And then the verse 10 says that there are good works that you must walk in. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. In other words, by being born again, he has created us anew. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Hallelujah. You see, this one is a very simple English. It's a very nice, if you want to have a version, I think have it. But I always read the King James, and then this one brings it to my level. Hallelujah. Good. So, what have I said so far? So far, I've said that you need to develop the skill of being able to expound the gospel. Do you get it? You need to develop that. To be able to, that ability is essential. Your inability to explain salvation, why somebody needs to be born again, would hinder you from living for Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you should really get books about salvation and read so that you can, you see, if you sit with me and I have to talk to you, it doesn't matter who you are, I will point to you that you need to be born again by helping you to see the deficiencies in your thinking. I enjoy educated people because I'm able to make them feel stupid. I can, when people are not educated to a very high level, you can't present reasoning with them. Do you get it? Uh-huh. So those ones, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you people are educated, they present, how do you know that this is it? And I also, how do you know this is it? I enjoy it. I'm able to make them feel stupid and tell them, you must be born again. Of course, at the end of the day, whether someone is born again or not, is the Holy Spirit. Good. So that is the first thing that you need to, that's the first thing that you need to know. And you must spend time to do it. Now, the next thing is that you can't grow into doing what you are supposed to do unless you do it. The best way to learn how to drive is to drive, not to pray. Or not to study the driving signs. Some of you have done learners too many times. You see, the best way to learn how to drive is actually to drive. You can read all about driving. It doesn't make you a driver. You can read all about driving. It does not make you a driver. The only way to drive is to drive. Now, in the same way, you see, you can't grow in your ability to lead people to Christ unless you are involved in leading people to Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul explains something about, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need. Is it chapter 5? Is it 6? Is 5:12? Because 5:1 for every high priest is okay. You have been believers so long now. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. The next verse. I'm going to a point. I'm looking for a small phrase. I'm not preaching on this verse. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food, listen carefully. Solid food is for those who are matured, who through training, who through what? Do you get it? It is through training that they develop the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It is through training. You see, as I'm teaching, I can see clearly that the church has failed. I don't know why God has allowed it to fail, but as for failure, I think the church has failed. Because the things we should be doing, if we believe the Bible, the things we should be doing, we don't do any of them. We don't spend energy. We don't spend time to do any. We are so busy spending time to think about how God is going to bless us. It's like we have neglected our responsibilities. It's like God, your father has promised you that if you pass your matric with 5 distinctions, I'm going to buy you a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And all we are doing is we are teaching about Mercedes-Benz. You are learning about Mercedes-Benz, the features of the Mercedes-Benz. That's all you are doing. Meanwhile, you should be learning about the subjects. Because it is passing the 5 distinctions that will get you the Mercedes-Benz. Knowing all the inside out about Mercedes-Benz will never give you the Mercedes-Benz if you don't get the 5 distinctions. But what the church is doing, we are busy specializing and sub-specializing on the blessings of God. Without paying attention of how to walk on the road that has the blessing. Think about it. If one sinner repenting brings joy in heaven, why don't you spend your life developing the skill to make many sinners repent every day? How can heaven forget about the people who are making them happy? Why would heaven want to take out of this world very early the people who are making them happy? Hallelujah. Yeah. But it's unfortunate. The church is sick. That's all I can say. Seriously sick. Because, you see, the people we, through training, do you get it? Would acquire the skill that we need. You will never be able to confidently talk to people about Jesus Christ unless you start doing it. And unless there's a constant program that pushes you to do it, then you grow in your confidence. And it should be the whole church. It's not the outreach team. Everybody. Are you with me? All of us should be
Because that's it's not a work of the pastor, it's a work of everybody who has received a new life. Because when you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 15, it says, so that those who receive his new life, the newness of life, should no longer live for themselves. So is the pastor the only one who is born again? So why have we left and said it is only the pastor who must live for Christ? When the condition is that anybody who has received new life should no longer live for themselves. It's like we are saying, no, there is only the pastor who should not live for himself, but we can live for ourselves. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So if you say you are born again, what you are saying is that I have received a new life from Christ. And therefore, you are no longer to live for yourself, but live for Christ. So is it only the pastor who must learn how to live for Christ? What about you? Is a new life only for the pastor? So why are you not interested in living for Christ? And you have left all the living for Christ for the pastor and his few people to do. It's the reason why you do that is because we have not explained to you that what we are doing is for all of us to do it. Oh? Do you think when I got born again, I started preaching like this? No. I was groomed into it. So you can also be groomed into it. And you should allow yourself to be groomed into it. And you should want to be groomed into it. And you should go through whatever is needed to be groomed into it. Yeah, it shouldn't be like, you see, let me tell you something. If God, he judges you from your heart, not from what you say, but from what you do. What you do from your heart. So if you say, I've received newness of life, he's expecting a corresponding action from you. Because Jesus said, how can an evil tree bring forth good fruit? And how can a good tree bring forth evil fruit? A tree is known by its fruit. So if you say you have received new life, the evidence of the new life must be there. What it means is that if that evidence is not there, then it means you don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. If you believed, it will lead you to an action. James said, show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works. What you believe determines what you do. What you don't do, you don't believe it. No matter how much excuse you give, you don't believe it. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Good. So listen, we must really learn about salvation. The next skill that you need if you're going to really live for Christ. You get it? I know the basic, we all need the power of the Holy Spirit. That one we can't do away with. You get it? But I'm just talking about the basic human things that we need to know also. Because you are not going to talk to ants. You are talking to human beings who have brain. So you must not talk like, you must be born again. Why must I be born again? Oh, no, I say you must be born again. No, you must not talk like that. You should be able to explain to me why I must be born again. That's why Jesus didn't come in the form of a donkey to say you must be born again. Boom, boom, boom. No, he came. He lived like that. He explained. He taught. He went to their synagogue. He explained the scriptures to them. When the Spirit told Philip in, is it Acts chapter 9 or chapter 7? When he was caught up to meet up with the Enoch. Is it chapter 9 or chapter 7 or chapter 8? Come again. And he was caught up in the spirit to meet up with the Enoch. It's Acts. You can use the King James to search it easily. Come again. I think it's chapter 8 or either before he went down to Samaria. Or was it after Samaria? Chapter 8, 27. You put it up, let's see. 26. I want to show you something. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south, the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Let's read on. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, and Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to worship, to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to go and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? Now you see, the man was reading, but he was not going to be born again. Because he didn't understand what he was reading. Are you with me? It took somebody who understood. The next verse. The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. 32. The passage of scripture he had been reading was it. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak for his descendants? For his life was taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And they rode along. They came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? I don't know if you're understanding my point. My point is, you who are born again, your understanding of what it means to be born again and why somebody must be born again and how to be born again is important. Because if Philip didn't understand what it means to be born again and what the scripture is talking about and all those things, he would not have been able to get born again, somebody who was willing to be born again. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. How can they believe on someone on whom they have not heard? How can they believe on somebody who they don't know about? So we need to equip ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ When he has set it up on high, Ephesians 4:11, he gave gifts unto men for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. He gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You can see that as I'm teaching you now, I'm not prophesying. I'm not acting in the office of a prophet, in the office of an evangelist. I'm teaching you clearly. You can see it, isn't it? Yeah. So that you will know why you have to do what you must do. Are you here with me? Yeah. Do you get it? It's a gift. It's not for me to be frying chicken with it and sitting down. No, it's for to teach. So when we meet, we should meet to be taught. Scriptures expounded. This is what this means. If we say we are this, this is what it means. Then we can go out knowing why we have to do what we must do. And that is when we will not be deceived by Satan. And you see, the gift of a teacher is that he has the ability to take the scriptures or whatever he's teaching you into a form and a fashion that you can clearly relate with. Yeah. That's the gift of the teacher. Some of you are not good at maths because of is your teacher. The problem is not you per se. I mean, you don't have a lot, but a better teacher would have done better with you. A good teacher would have brought you up a little bit. Instead of having 3, you would have had 5. Yeah. Because math is a language. If you understand it, you can teach it very simply without even pen and paper. Hallelujah. How many are going to really give themselves to learning that about salvation and what it means? Do it. That's what will make you be a man of faith. Yeah. Because the evidence of your life would prove that you truly believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Good. The next area, which is still in the same area of winning souls, is you have to develop certain skills called anakazo skill. You see, you are not going to bring people to Christ when your approach is not appealing and it's not very strong. You see, weak appeal doesn't achieve much. One of the things about Indian salesmen that are Indian, of Indian descent, is that they are able to make you buy what you don't need. If you meet an Indian salesperson, you can easily buy something and later on ask yourself, why did I buy this? Do you get it? Yeah, it's true. Pray that you don't meet. Yeah. And a good salesperson, that's their mark. They are very convincing. If you allow them to talk to you before you realize, if you allow them to talk to you, you will buy. You will sign the contract.
before you have you ask yourself, but why did I sign this contract? Yeah. That's what good salespeople do. Now, Anakazo will teach you the things that you need to have in you. And it will make you understand that people are full of excuses and you just have to be determined to overcome their excuses. Now, most of you and most people that I see around, I realize that they don't have an akazo. And most of us that have grown up in this country, we don't have an akazo. We are softies. We are like jelly tots. We are jelly tots. That's why the Nigerians will come and they will come and take over. Because the Nigerians have strong an akazo. Yeah. The Nigerian doesn't know no. He will do it. Yeah. And other nationals are very strong. But most of us who have grown up here, jelly tots, very soft. Oh, you see, I invited them and they said they won't come. No, 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 no. Of course they won't come. They won't come. From the way you are talking, you are not giving them any reason to come. When you listen to testimonies of people from other parts of Africa who are taking people to church, you will see that people are very determined. It's like, church, you will go. You see, I don't know how to say it, but it's not that we can't do it all. But when it comes to the things of God, we don't want to do it. It's not that we can't do it. When it comes to it. So you need to learn about anakazo, forcefulness, shamelessness, preparation for every form of excuse. Oh, my clothes are not iron. I'll iron for you. And you see, most people, once you persist, they will just give up and do it for you. You see, people want to test how determined you are. If you are not really determined, you won't get. They will overcome you. But if you are determined, sometimes out of your determination, they just want some peace. So you say, okay, let me. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. 18. Okay, go to about verse 6. Or verse 3. Okay. Let me start from verse 2. Okay, let me start from verse 1. And the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto this end, saying, I know the verse in King James, but one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. One of the questions somebody asked some time ago is that, why do we memorize the Bible or we learn memory verses in King James? You see, King James is not an ordinary language. It's not the usual English language. So when you memorize a verse in it, you are able to remember it easily. But when you memorize a verse in an ordinary language, because it's ordinary, other words easily come to confuse you. So, yeah. So, like, I wouldn't remember this verse 1 of Luke 18 in ordinary English. But I know it in and he speak a, and he speak a parable to this end, that men always ought to pray and not faint. Do you get it? But the ordinary English, I can't remember it because it's so ordinary. There's nothing. It's like it's not a unique phrase. Mm-hmm. That's why I learned the Bible in King James. Because I remember the phrases in the King James. Because one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Verse 2. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. The judge, he doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about people. A widow of the city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant request. The point I want you to take note is that the judge is doing it not because she fears, he fears people or he fears God, but it is the pressure. So it's like the sheer persistence, the sheer tenacity, determination that you are going to go to church. I promise you. I'm not going to leave you until you go to church. After a while, you see, most people, you know what, let me just go so that this guy will leave me free. And you'll be surprised that the day they go, they'll give their life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. An akazo will teach you to do things that are unconventional. When you read the story of the man, it's Luke chapter 14. When you read the story, do you get it? The man had a planned party and had guests list, invited guests. But when the invited guests, all with one accord, gave excuses, he not ready to give waste the food that he has prepared, had to come up with something to make sure that the party comes on. Now, you see, he was willing to go against common reasonings, such as, oh, but how can I go and bring people that I have not told about a party? Because the people that he had originally invited, he would have given them some prior notice. So, in other words, he respected giving notices. But here, he was faced with a situation that the party is today. The people invited are not here. When am I going to give notice to the people that I can get to come? So what it is that he overcame even himself. Now, one of the things that I've found to make people inefficient soul winners is they cannot overcome themselves. You cannot overcome your way of thinking. To say, oh, but I've not told her that I want to go to church with her. So you see, maybe I'll tell her next week. No. Actually, this week, today is when. So you have to overcome even your own excuses. You have to overcome your own excuses. You guys are tired. Eh? I think you wake up early. What time is this? Oh.
We haven't gone far because I thought we are going to go to 11. Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes break to stretch so that you can. Let me just finish the point I'm making. So listen, what I'm trying to say is that the key thing in an akazo is to care less about reasons why it cannot. And say, I take no reason. It must happen. If you can't overcome that in yourself, you will not be able to bring many people to Jesus. If you can't overcome that in yourself, you will not be able to bring many people to Jesus. And you see, Satan is making it harder for people to come to Jesus. So we can't just use our jelly thought approaches. We must use a strong force. And the force is in the form of no excuse is acceptable. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have a friend, you know that sometimes you do things to make, it's almost like, Charlie, I can't dodge. Today, I think this guy is very determined. Yeah. That is what is lacking in most of us. That is what is lacking in most of us. And we must pray for boldness and strength to bring people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Your invitation is too gentle. That's why the people are not coming. And one of the things here, Bishop, what do you do when you invite them and they are not coming? Meanwhile, the same you. If you wanted something, the person is saying no, you still persist. I don't know if you have it here, but you see, in Ghana, when I was growing up, some of the girls, when you are chasing them, they are very difficult. Here, I don't get that feeling. Maybe one or two girls are quite hard to get. But most of the girls, I don't get that feeling. It's almost like they actually go for it. But in Ghana, some girls are tough. Hey, I don't know now, but then, when I was like you, it was not easy. You see, things change. So what it was then may not be the same now. You get it? And I always speak in that with that in mind. But then, some girls are tough. They will keep swerving you, doing this. Sometimes when you want to go out with them, with the mind that after you go to places and you start doing things, then they bring a friend along. Yeah, it's like they are making it difficult for you to get them. But you see, some of the boys, they don't relent. They will do until they get you. Some of you, they'll be chasing you for 3 months, for 1 year. Chasing you. Now, I don't know if it happens here. You tell me. I didn't grow up here. That's why I always say, I don't know. It happens. Oh, yeah, it must be. Some girls are tough. I mean, at least I know one or two people that they were hard to get. I mean, they don't come easily. Yeah. But most of the girls, I mean, even the boy doesn't have to say. It's not good. You are too soft.
You see, boys don't respect what they didn't struggle to get. Ladies, hear it and hear it very well. I'm a boy. And I'm revealing our secret to you because I'm born again. Boys don't respect what they didn't struggle to get. So if you offer yourself readily, most of them will not marry you. The reason is that boys can't handle when their woman is touched by another man. Boys can't take it at all. They can't take it at all because it dents their ego. Do you get it? It dents their ego. Like what makes them, I'm a man. It affects it. So they are looking silently for someone that they can be sure that it's hard to get. So when they struggle to get you, they are able to imagine how, now that they have you, how it will be difficult for somebody else to get you. But when they get you easily, they'll be thinking to yourself, who else can get you? Do you get it? This just, it's not part of the anakazo. This one is extra. So listen, you must also have this book and actually analyze it, discuss it, and put it into practice. Because without anakazo, many things are not going to work. Many things are not going to work. You must learn how to anakazo people into church. You must learn how to anakazo. And you see, you may not know, a lot of people, if you persist, they will come. Oh yeah, a lot of people. Sometimes on Sunday, one of the things we were doing some years ago was that on Sunday morning, whilst we are having a service, we stop and we go out to bring people to church. We don't do it these days anymore. We call it Anakazo Sunday. We'll come, we start praying, and then go to the community. Go and bring people to church. And people come. You see, when you are an Anakazo person, you are not thinking, oh, maybe I've not warned him earlier. He has other plans. Look, a lot of people, they don't have other plans. They just need somebody to force them. They will come. So you'll be surprised that morning, when you break your service and you go out and bring the boys who are playing football, you see, some people, they can't say no. So they need somebody to forcefully, and sometimes also some boys, they see you, the girl, very appealing. So they're happy to follow you to church. The only thing I realized I was told here that the girls don't play that game. The girls don't risk their lives trying to go and bring a boy to church, especially a boy who is interested in them. They don't entertain it at all, I'm told. Because some of them, before they realize, they are down. They get it. But where I come from, the girls are hard to get. And you follow them or you follow them to church. Before you realize you are born again and you have abandoned your plan. I was taken to church by a woman.
A girl that I was chasing. Yes. I never got her. Yeah, I didn't get her. She was tough. It's like, no, open my legs, it will never happen. She actually took me to church. And it was a Thursday evening. I mean, we were boys sitting in front of a house and on the main road, not on the main road, like the road that passes through the suburb type of thing. And you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so as she was passing, then I called her. And I was chatting with her, and then I let her go. Then I think another day, I think it was her route to home. So she was passing again, and I called her. As we chatted and things like that, then she said, I must come to church. I said, when? She said, Thursday. She said, come and take me. So she came, and we went to church. And I gave my life to Christ. Of course, having given my life to Christ, I'm still the same old person, the same ideas. So I was still pressing on. And she was friends with me, all right, but she never gave in. And as I grew, I also renewed my mind. Do you get it? Yeah. I mean, recently she sent me a message. She's also a pastor. She sent me a message recently. Yeah. She let me. I chased her into the church. And I got born again. And I've been born again since then. Yeah. But I'm told that some of you girls, you are too weak. Just even that you can, you know, the guy is lying to you, yet you fall for it. Yeah. It's almost like you fall, not that you actually fall for it. Be strong in the Lord. Because most of you girls, you can bring a lot of boys to church. Because the boys, we like girls. No. Almost every boy, it doesn't matter how old they are. We like girls. No, that one is true. Mm-hmm. Yes, we like girls. That one is true. Because, I mean, I wish I could say it's not true, but it's true. So what it is that when you are gentle to a lady, naturally, men are gentle to a lady. A boy is likely to follow a lady to church than to follow a guy to church. I wish and pray that you girls will be stronger so that you will not yield to the raps, but at least be able to bring them to church. Then we preach them into salvation. Then when they are converted, we'll have a lot of boys to marry you. The problem we have is that you can't see the multi-steps to your blessings. That if you were to spend time in strengthening your spirit and being a strong Christian, instead of spending a lot of time on outward appearances and on apparels, if you were to spend time on your inward man, you'll be strong Christian ladies. And you can play around fire and not be burnt by bringing the boys, because you are strong. Whatever spirit is influencing him, you have a stronger spirit influencing you. So you bring them to church. Then when they get born again and they come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then they'll be good boys. Then you have husbands. One of our bishops, the one who actually, like when Bishop is about, he introduces Bishop Ogo. It was his wife who led him to Christ and brought him to church. And as he became serious, he married her. Yeah, she thought she was living for Christ, but not knowing that there's a byproduct of having her own needs also met. Yeah. Because they are happily married.
looking after her, and she has children, and he's also doing well as a bishop. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Great. So please, I don't know how detailed we can go into this, but I'm just getting, you must have it and read. And take your time, have discussion groups page by page. So this one, how do we implement it? Because you know, you see, you must have meetings of planning how to overcome the difficult people and how to win them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Great. Let me give you some 5 minutes break. Is that it's 10 o'clock or... Yeah. So let's come back 10:15. Then I'll do another 1 hour before you. Isn't it, Pastor Pascal? What's the time?
It's 11
for breakfast. So just let's do some 10 minutes. Just stretch your legs, get some fresh air, and come back 10 minutes. I'm waiting for you.